This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Smith. Welcome to Close Up. So how do we make sense of the loss of a young life? After all, we expect our children to live way past us, right? Well, not so for the parents of 14-year-old Raymond Howell Jr. of McKinney, Texas, which is a suburb outside of Dallas. You see, Raymond was found dead near a drainage ditch from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in early April. Yes, this 14-year-old beautiful boy killed himself. Police believe it was a result of bullying. This young boy saw no other choice. So what can we do about it? Well, first, knowledge is power. Generally, let me just tell you this. Statistics can be boring, right? Nobody wants to hear statistics. But when it comes to bullying, they are astounding and they are vital to mention in order to stop this hateful act. So just here's a few. A study from 2010 shows that 1 in 7 students from kindergarten to 12th grade are either bullied or has been a victim of bullying. That's about 2.7 million students being bullied each year and about 2.1 students who are bullies themselves. Now, that was from 2010, okay? It's 5 years later, so I'm sure the number has grown. And here's the most horrible statistic of all. According to the Center for Disease Control, suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people. Suicide. Estimating around 4,400 deaths a year. Bully victims are between 2 and 9 times more likely to consider suicide than non-victims. And that's according to a study out of Yale University. So I have to say, seriously, folks, who among us has not been bullied at one point or another? I certainly was. And it was a very dark time in my life that still haunts me today as a middle-aged adult. So what do we do about it? Dr. Audrey Newsom is a leading advocate to prevent bullying, starting first and foremost with education. She is the founder and CEO of the Bully Suicide Project. She's a former Marine, a community leader, educator, and is the winner of the 2014 eWomen Network Humanitarian of the Year Award. Please welcome Dr. Audrey Newsom.
Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you so much for joining us today. You are leading a fight, a very difficult one at that, but you are persistent. So what got you interested in bullying to begin with?
Well, Phyllis, it started, really long ago. As a kid, I was bullied relentlessly from the third grade until about the eighth grade. But back in the day, as we say, when I was a kid, bullying was one of those things where if you got bullied, you'd fight your bully and it would be over and done with. You know, there wasn't this long, drawn-out process that we have now where, you know, certain things we can't do because of laws, new laws, and things like that. But it was a situation that really made an imprint on my life because it stuck with me. And it didn't stick with me at the front of my mind. It was in the back of my mind and only brought forward by my sister when I had gone home and had lunch with cousins and friends and had to be reminded that I had been bullied relentlessly as a child because I had put it out of my mind completely.
You mean as a later on in life you went and
yes.
were with your family and then she reminded you of it?
Absolutely. We were at a luncheon. There were about 3 cousins, a couple of friends, my sister and myself, and we were talking about bullying. And, you know, I said, oh, that must be horrible. And my sister reminded me, she said, well, you should know because you went through it from the third at least until the eighth grade.
Wow.
And, you know, and then just slowly pieces started to come back. And, you know, and as an adult, I actually started feeling some of those feelings that I felt as a kid, you know, almost being an outcast because I was a fat kid. I was overweight and was picked on. And my dad was a military man as well. And when he found out, he made me go back to school and fight my bully. And I did. But what that did, you know, it gave me some power, but it also turned me into a bully.
Ah.
So I've been on both sides of the fence.
Wow. So when you say you were bullied relentlessly, was it physical, verbal? I mean, back then there was no cyberbullying. So,
no.
You know, what was the source of the bullying?
It was actually both physical and emotional as well, because I got called names. I used to love to wear pink, and the kids would call me Pinky Stinky, just all kinds of crazy names. But I would also get chased home pretty much on a daily basis. And had not told my dad or anyone for that matter that I was being bullied. And one day he happened to get off of work early and saw me being chased, and that's when he gave me the ultimatum. Either you go back to school and fight your bully, or you're going to get a spanking when you get home. So, yeah.
Wow. So when you fought your bully, bring us to that. Can you bring us to that first time you did that and what that was like for you?
Absolutely. And the bizarre thing about that situation was the bully was a young man that I actually had a crush on. And the last one anyway. And, you know, I felt like, why is he doing this to me if I thought he liked me? Well, I found out he did like me, but he was reacting. He didn't know how to prove it to me. And back, you know, when you're little, you hit the girl or you pull the girl's hair or whatever. He did some of that too, but he took it a little bit further. He hit me real hard in the face. And we got into a fight. And because I was fat and heavy, I beat him up. And I didn't, you know, I didn't set out to at that particular point, but I did. And, you know, instead of me feeling empowered at that moment, I was kind of sad because it was somebody that I cared for, but he was doing mean, nasty things to me. So, but that broke me from being a bully almost immediately, because I'm like, oh, my God, if I can do this to somebody I like, I don't want to do this anymore. So, you know, I had a period there where I stopped being a bully. But then other kids, when I go on the playground, they tease me. So, you know, I just went back into the bully mode and kind of continued that until about the 9th or 10th grade.
So that was when you would go in your bully mode, you would be physical to them and push back? And okay.
Yes.
Did you acquire more friends as a result, or did it help your social situation at all?
Well, at first it did help my, you know, my social status, so to speak, you know, because especially with the girls at that point, they were like, oh, wow, you know, you fought him and you beat him up. And, you know, so I was kind of riding high there for a minute. But I was feeling bad inside because I had bullied and beat up somebody that I liked. So, you know, I was having all those feelings. And but eventually it did impact my life again, because after high school, and I didn't really get into too much trouble in senior high school, but I did have that bullying imprint, because that's when I joined the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was gung-ho and, you know, I'm a strong woman, I can do this, I can do that. So went into the Marine Corps, and lo and behold, I met probably the meanest bully that I have ever seen in my life, which was my drill instructor. And she was all of 5 feet tall, and she was just relentless. So, you know, and at that point I just realized there's always someone bigger and badder than you are. I don't care what kind of bully you are.
And not necessarily bigger, like she was,
right.
You know, she was an itty-bitty thing, but she had
exactly.
That power.
She had
it doesn't
the power.
Matter. Yeah. And when you say, but she would specifically target you as a drill sergeant, it wasn't just being that big mouth, loud mouth, you know, drill sergeant to everybody. It was you in particular.
Well, actually, yes, it was me in particular. And I, to this day, you know, she saw something in me. But she really was on my case relentlessly, especially for the first couple of weeks that you're in boot camp. But what I found out, like I said, she saw something in me. And after the first 2 weeks, she asked me to be this student drill instructor, because we had our senior drill instructor, then we had a student drill instructor.
Right.
And she selected me to be the student drill instructor, which means I pretty much had to do the same kinds of things that she was doing when she wasn't around. I was in charge.
Mm.
So, you know, the bullying, I guess you could say, came in handy because we had some really, really rough girls in the Marine Corps because some of them, quite honestly, you know, had a choice of either going into Marine Corps or going to jail for things
yeah.
that they had done. So,
wow.
you know, I guess she saw something in me that told her I could do it. And
you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw the movie Whiplash. Did you see the movie Whiplash?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, you've got to see the movie because this is a similar thing where this band teacher abuses this drummer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
abuses him relentlessly. And this kid, all he wants to do is please him and get in this band.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Farmers Insurance. He's normally plays a very funny guy, but in this he was hateful and mean and horrible.
Oh.
But he, too, saw something in this guy, and he was trying to break him on purpose,
mm-hmm.
which actually
mm-hmm.
made him stronger. So it's interesting. You wonder, you know, sometimes, I mean, did it help or hurt you in a way because you were somehow sort of promoted?
Exactly. Exactly, because what it did for me, I actually graduated number one in my class.
Mm.
I won the Molly Marine Award, which is the award to the top recruit in the class that I was in. And I got a promotion to private first class, and I got a top secret clearance. And this all came out of boot camp. This was before
wow.
I ever got transferred to a duty station or anything. So it did, you know, it impacted my life quite a bit. But, you know, by the time I got to the Marine Corps, I was still, you know, kind of gung-ho, thinking I'm pretty tough. But I still had that feeling I didn't want to hurt anybody because of what had happened in the past. I hurt the guy who I thought loved me, you know, in the 7th, 8th grade. You send him a little note, do you love me, yes or no, check the box.
Oh.
Well, yeah. So he actually checked the box. Yes, that's why I knew he liked me. But
yeah.
he just didn't know how to express it. And so, you know, that left, it just kind of left a mark on my heart as well that, you know, even if you're a bully, you don't have to be a mean person deep down. Because I don't think I was. I wasn't really a mean person. I was just trying to survive.
Exactly, and it's so interesting because you find sometimes people who are survivors of abuse,
yes.
You know, in a way it can make them stronger, but in your case, and we're going to find that out shortly, more so, is that you turn around now and you are now at the forefront of helping to prevent bullying, even though it served you in a good way eventually, you still see that it is something that you want to annihilate completely.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, now listen, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we've got lots and lots to talk about. So stand by. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. Thank you so Audrey Newsom, and she is founder and CEO of the Believe Suicide Project. And, you know, as I said, even leading into this show today, who among us has not been bullied at some point, or maybe we've been bullied? And Audrey, you were talking about how you were bullied, then you became a bully, and it actually served you in a good way. But you are now at the forefront of preventing it, because even though it did serve you, as you say, it was a matter of survival. So before we go on, I've got to share this amazing, it's audio from a video that many of you probably have seen. These were two boys. They're called their group. They have a little musical group, the Bars and Melody Rap Duo, and they were on Britain's Got Talent. Okay, so why I imagine you probably have seen this, 69 million views on YouTube, this particular video got. So I'm just going to play, obviously this is radio, so you're only going to get the audio version, but just to set the picture up, they're two young boys. I think they're probably, I don't know exactly how old, but maybe sixth grade, seventh, something like that. And so here they are singing this. This is at the 2014 audition for Britain's Got Talent.
I feel so alone, I'm just a kid, how can I take it on my own? I'm crossing many seas here, writing this song, trying to fit in, where do I belong? I wake up every day, don't want to leave my home, my mama's asking me, but I'm always alone, too scared to say, too scared to holler, I'm walking to school with sweat around my collar, I'm just a kid, I don't want no stress, my nerves are bad, my life's a mess. The name should call me, they hurt real bad. I wanna tell my mom, she having trouble with my dad. I feel so trapped, there's nowhere to turn. Trying to school, don't wanna fight, I wanna learn. So please, Mr. Bully, tell him what I've done. You know I have no dad, I'm living with my mom.
Hopeful, yes I am. Hopeful for today. Take this music, yeah. And you sit, let it take you.
I like these tunes.
Hopeful, and so. He'll make a way. I know it ain't easy, but that's okay.
So, Audrey, that was a huge song. The name of the song is Hopeful.
Yes.
So you were talking about being a victim of bullying. You work with, and because of the Bully Suicide Project, you know kids like this, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like this, the boy says he lives with his mom. He's always alone. She wants to know why he's alone. I think it's important, maybe at this point, you know, what can you tell us in terms of who tends to be a victim? Why is it that some are singled out and some aren't? Do you know what that characteristic might be?
Well, it's kind of, I guess you could say, complicated, because the real definition of bullying is the perception by someone of someone else being less than they are, whether they have less money, whether living in a less desirable neighborhood. You know, it goes on and on and on. And that person feels, who is going to be the bully, feels in a position of power. Well, because of that difference, I can make them or do to them whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. And it's done repeatedly, over and over and over, and it's done purposely to hurt. So it can be anyone at any given time. And one of the issues today is that the word bullying has morphed, I call it, into something that is not really what bullying was back in the day when I was coming up. If someone said you were bullied back in the day, that meant someone physically hit you, hurt you, tried to hurt you, kept doing it. You kept telling, but they kept doing it because they were trying to hurt you on purpose. And, you know, looking at some of the research that Dr. Dan Olweus did back years and years ago before bullying actually hit the media scene, those were his definitions, and bullying only went up to the age of 17. Mm. If it was over 18, it was actually harassment because you were considered an adult. But because those same actions are done to older people, and, you know, now that 17 has somewhat dropped out of sight, and the term bullying has, you know, it has come to mean so many different things. And then we have the internet and the digital age. So we have cyberbullying. So there's so many definitions of bullying, and that's one of the reasons why we really can't stop it. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, you can try to hold it up, but you really can't put a stop to it. And unfortunately, if we have that attitude going in, no, we won't stop it. But bullying, it should have been left with the 17 and under group because that's what it's supposed to be. But now bullying covers such a broad spectrum. Anybody can be bullied for any reason. If I don't like you because your dress is prettier than mine and I say something negative to you and keep bugging you and keep bothering you and I'm doing it to hurt your feelings or make you feel less, then that's bullying.
Right.
And you can just imagine the spectrums that it covers. You know, anyone can be bullied.
How does that differ from teasing?
Teasing, really, when I came up, teasing was, okay, I would see somebody and I like them and I'm just saying things to be funny or not necessarily to hurt their feelings or to do anything to make them hurt. You know, teasing, and that's what led to bullying, though. You know, the teasing goes too far. When it goes too far and it turns into a situation where you actually are trying to hurt the person, and you continually do it over and over and over, even after the person has told you, this is uncomfortable, it's hurting me, don't do it. That's when teasing turns into bullying.
Mm. Well, you know, you'd mentioned that, you know, cyberbullying is, it's become a huge broad spectrum now, but cyberbullying is something where, you know, kids can hide behind the internet. It doesn't have to be face-to-face anymore. So how rampant is that?
That is extremely rampant. And unfortunately, that is overtaking what we know as the real bullying where, you know, we see somebody physically hurt somebody or someone is actually bullying them person to person. You know, that cyberbullying has given people who are mean, I think, at heart anyway, it's given them a badge of courage to do it because many times they can't be identified, particularly with the way the internet is now. You can hide behind the internet to go out and bully someone purposely and viciously. It's gotten more vicious. And unfortunately, the research says young women are the most vicious bulliers. And that includes, you know, the cyberbullying, because they're the ones who tend to do the emotional bullying anyway. You know, they try to exclude the person who they're bullying from a group. If they were part of the group or they were friends, they exclude that person. Or they get up a campaign to start calling names and, you know, having everybody join in and do the same thing. So cyberbullying is absolutely the most dangerous, in my opinion, the most dangerous type of bullying.
Well, speaking of dangerous, obviously, you know, you founded the Bully Suicide Project. And as I said earlier, that suicide is the third leading cause of death among young people. And that if you are a victim of bullying, that you are between 2 and 9 times more likely to consider suicide than non-victims. So tell us about the Bully Suicide Project and what exactly it is. And, so tell us about that.
Okay, well, the Bully Suicide Project is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we actually came about because of working with about 22 young people who actually had been bullied to the extent that they did either contemplate or actually try suicide. Mm-hmm. As my assistant director chose a project for his community service that I require of everyone who worked for me, he actually engaged an organization called Youth First Texas. And these kids were able to come in the evening after they got out of school and talk about situations and why they were doing what they were doing and why they were so sad that they were being bullied and they thought suicide was the only answer. And they didn't realize there were other kids in the same mm-hmm. situation that they were. You know, whether it was how they looked, how they talked, you know, their economic situation, there was some issue that caused them to think that suicide was the best way out and it would stop the pain. So what we came up with was, hey, you know what, let's make sure these young people know if you contemplate or you actually try suicide and God forbid that you complete it, you're not going to be alive to see that it's going to get better. Mm-hmm. And that's where we came up with our slogan, life gets better with hope, you know, yeah. but you have to stay alive so that you can see that hope play out. And if you take your life, you know, and think about what kind of situation you're going to leave to your parents and friends, other relatives, you know, they're going to be very upset because they know that they could somehow get some help for you and make sure that you understand that you don't have to take your life.
Well, and you know, here's the difficult thing is that we all know that bullying is going on. In fact, mm-hmm. there are, you know, some of the statistics show over half, about 56% of all students say they've witnessed a bullying crime take place while at school. Mm-hmm. A reported 15% of all students who don't show up for school report it to being out of fear of being bullied. And there are about 71% of students that report bullying and is an ongoing problem. So obviously mm-hmm. it's this huge problem, but that 56% with students witness it mm-hmm. and then they turn away. So let me ask you this then. What have you done in schools? I know that you've brought it to the attention of schools, and you're going, mm-hmm. you're doing more now. You have this other new program that you're going to be mm-hmm. launching. We'll talk about in a little bit. But are mm-hmm. schools more aware and are, you know, you hear about the zero tolerance and all of
yes.
that. But are things really being done? Have we made headway in the schools to prevent bullying?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Phyllis, because, you know, when we set up our program, you know, we were trying to do the traditional type of anti-bullying program, which was to go into the schools and do our programs. We called it a day of hope, and we only did it for a day. You know, we'd make follow-up phone calls to see how things were going on the campus, but, you know, it was generally everybody's bullying programs are very similar, so, you know, we'd only go once a year. And we had to step back and look at, you know, we're doing this and a whole bunch of other people are doing this, but nothing's happening because the research says most of the programs that are out there are ineffective. They're not effective. Mm. They're not doing anything. And we had to kind of figure out why. And one of the reasons is because generally the programs only do a 1 day or 1 hour little seminar, or they do a student assembly where everybody's brought into the gym and somebody will come in and talk about bullying, or they'll have some, you know, a skit or something about bullying, and they might get a counselor to sign on and promise to help out with anything that goes on and give them advice, but it's usually just a one and done, as we call it. And we can't expect students to really learn and understand when they go to school the whole year, but they only get 1 or 2 hours of instruction on what to do about bullying. And one of the main issues that we had also was a lot of these students, yeah, they witnessed the bullying, but they don't want to be a snitch and tell. So, you know, you have to come up with avenues that they can take to make sure that the information is reported. But if they don't want to be identified, then we have to have something that you know, addresses that as well. But the main problem is the programs that are there now, they just don't work. So we had to figure out something that we could do to kind of, as we call it, flip the script and change the game, because continuing to do the same old thing over and over and expecting different results, as you know, you know,
it's the definition of insanity.
Exactly.
Audrey, I'm going to stop you there. When we come back, you're going to tell us about your new program and what you're doing and what you've done to beef it up. So stand by.
Okay.
We'll come back right after this short break.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
Yes, back now, talking about such an important topic on bullying. Statistics are just horrible. I hate talking, and I'm not a numbers person, but it's just something you've just got to know, that bullying exists. You know, one out of every 10 students drops out or changes schools because of repeated bullying. I know people who've done this. Am I right? And you too, Dr. Audrey Newsom, she's
yes.
been with us. They drop out of school, they change schools, and it's just a terrible thing. And with cyberbullying, it's almost become an epidemic. There are about 282,000 students that are reportedly attacked in high schools throughout the nation each month. And here's an even scarier statistic. Among students of all ages, homicide perpetrators were found to be twice as likely as homicide victims to have been bullied previously by their peers. So it goes back to, if you've been a victim of bullying, in this case, these statistics are showing that murderers are more likely to have been bullied themselves. So it's a deadly, deadly disease. I mean, you know, it's rampant. So you were just telling us that the programs, the bully prevention programs that have been in the schools have not been effective. It's basically you come once a year, you talk about it, and then you're done, and it's not effective. So now you are launching an entirely new program. So tell us about that and how and you know, it's a really interesting twist. So tell us about that.
Okay, and if I can, just briefly before I tell you about that, I just kind of want to give a disclaimer, because I don't want to badmouth anyone's program, because we're all trying to help with this issue. But the research is out there that says the programs that are there are ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it stems from several things, one of them being, even if there are state laws, the school campuses don't incorporate those laws into their programs. And even if there are programs, it gets even to a more micro level. The administrators don't enforce, and the programs just kind of ignore the real things that need to be done on the campus, because they don't want the stigma of having bullying on their campus. And then there's situations where parents don't really know their kids well enough to know whether they are bullies, whether they're being bullied. So there are so many things that play into a campus that has the climate of bullying. And in order to have an effective program, you've got to somehow address all of those things in some way, or at least most of them. And the research says most of the programs out there don't have as much, as many of those components as they need. Now, once looking at that research, we decided to try to put some things together so that we could address those issues. But one of the things that we found, even after doing research and looking at other people's research, was we had an issue with administrators who were ignoring reports of bullying. We had one particular woman who, God rest her soul, she passed away about 2 years ago, but her child was bullied relentlessly. He was 9 years old. She had reported it 17 times, and they said they didn't have any documentation. Well, eventually he killed himself. He took his own life, 9 years old. So, you know, that's another thing that we have to get these administrators to understand, that bullying is serious. And if it's on your campus, you need to address it. Whether it gives your school a stigma or not, you need to address it so you can get that stigma off of your school. Stop it. But you have to change the school climate. So that those are some of the things that we looked at before we put together our program. But we also looked at trying to incorporate the student into the solution process. Okay, this is happening to them. We need to listen to them, at least ask them, what do you think it is? What can we do that would help you? One of them is protecting those who do tell when they see bullying happening. The other is we have to identify the groups on campus who are the most influential. And it didn't take us long to actually find out. We looked at about 77 campuses in Texas, and the main influential group are student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to not want our kids to emulate the athletes and things like that, but we cannot ignore the fact that they're the most influential group on campus, and research also says students listen to other students, oh, about 80% of the time than they do to adults. So we have to include both of those components into our program. And then you have to look at how the bullying is addressed when it's addressed. Okay, do you pull the bully out of the classroom? And, of course, he's missing his or her education as well. The idea of moving students out of a school because they have been bullied, and it seems like they're the ones who are getting punished, not the bully. You know, we had to take a look at all of that.
Right.
So what we came up with was a program called Positive Student Athletes, and we are incorporating the student athlete into our solution process, and that is we want to create an anti-bullying club on every high school campus in the country, and there are 24,000, because we feel like if we can get a one program with everyone addressing bullying the same way, with a curriculum to help the kids who are running the organizations on what it is to bully, how can you stop it, what do you need to do, understanding diversity, giving other people respect even with their differences, just because they're not the same as you doesn't mean you can't respect them, you know, and the list goes on. But we put together those components and put it in a student organization form, just like you have a student government organization. We have a positive student athletes organization as affiliates of the Bully Suicide Project. And we provide them, of course, with all the information, even including how to run your club. We give them templates on meeting agendas and everything that they need in order to run their organization. But what we also prepare them with, we give them positive interventions that they can practice throughout the year that includes the whole student population. So, you know, once they get in there and they get their club formed, then they have to start doing activities that, you know, they invite everyone in the school. One of them that we really think makes a huge difference is adopting new students when they come to the school. We found that they are generally the population that really gets bullied first, you know, because they're on campus. They don't know what's going on. They feel left out anyway because they don't know anybody. So we are encouraging the student athletes to adopt a new kid, you know, show them the ropes, show them what's going on. And, of course, being seen with the student athletes is just going to up their value, so to speak, on the campus anyway, because, you know, jocks are cool, you know, and that's one of the required activities. The other activity is that's required is we want to instill in our student athletes, you know, you have to do community service and get out in the community, give back, because as a student athlete, you're given a lot. You know, yes, a lot is expected of you, and you give a lot, but we want you to learn that value of giving back, supporting people, helping people. So that's another required component. Then we have about 16 more activities for them to choose from that are required that they have to do all throughout the year that pertains to bullying, and they're all positive activities and activities that are research says they're proven that they will change the climate once the program gets going. So
let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So this is a club. This is a voluntary club. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
So what you're describing sounds really wonderful on paper, but to be honest, mm-hmm. athletes are very busy. When they're in school, they're in early in the morning practice, afternoon practice. How mm-hmm. can you guarantee that this club will exist and you'll get enough people involved in it?
Well, yeah, and you're absolutely right, because I have experience as an academic advisor for student athletes. I did that for probably 8 to 10 years on a college campus, and my job was to make sure that student athletes were academically prepared. But what that entails, because you have to get the buy-in from the coach, that's one of the keys. You know, if the coach recognizes the program as being valuable, they will work with you. But if they see that whatever you're doing is wasting the student athlete's time, but the activities that we want them to do, they're very fun. They're things that they can do. For instance, if their season is not in, then we expect them to step up and lead whatever positive interventions are going on. I actually created a study hall, and of course I got a major pushback from that because the coaches didn't want their students 2 hours tied up every night, even though they knew they needed it. So what we did, we started making these study halls fun. We bring in people maybe to do a skit, or we bring in something to eat, or, you know, just things that we knew would attract those students to come in and at least participate. But, again, we had to get the coaches to buy in. And the thing that actually helped me was that I was working, I'm sorry for the noise, but the things that I actually did, I kept records and we kept the data and we ran them through our institutional research. So when grading time came, we looked at programs that existed before the student athlete program that I created and after, and we raised the GPA for all of the student athletes.
Wow.
So there is proof that it works. Mm-hmm.
It works. Now, do you have any buy-in yet? I mean, I know that you have this huge event. You're hoping a huge event on City Hall in Dallas, and that DISD Athletic Director is very excited about
yes.
the program. So is this program going to actually go into the Dallas Independent School District?
Exactly. That's what we're working on now, and we were pleasantly surprised with the DISD athletic director. And, of course, he's new, so he wants to do something to improve the district because they have had a lot of unfortunate adverse publicity, and he wants to make a really good statement about, you know, the kind of athletes that he wants in the Dallas Independent School District. And he has actually agreed to, after listening to us tell him about our program, he has agreed to bring all 22 high schools to the rally, and he is going to pay for them to come. He will use the Dallas Independent School Buses, district school buses, to bring them in. And he is actually going to speak at the rally. So he's totally in. He loves the concept. He's ready to go. And it's going to be a really great day because we're going to have some anti-bullying entertainment. We also have a special guest. Evander Holyfield Jr. will be our student athlete guest speaker. We have a couple of other surprises. And the one thing that we are attracting the students with, we're having a positive student athletes anti-bullying video contest. So each school has to send an example of a two-minute anti-bullying video. And we're going to select three out of whoever sends in their videos. We're going to select three schools, and they will perform at the rally. And the one who wins will win a major prize. The other two will get something as well. But, you know, we want the athletes out there. We want everybody else to come as well, but the athletes will be center stage.
Got it.
And so we're putting that together with workshops for parents, teachers, administrators, and anyone else that's interested in learning about bullying. And we'll have about, right now we're up to about six or seven, and we'll be adding a couple more. But we want the community to be involved. We've contacted Professional Athletics Association, the NFLPA, Dallas All Sports Association. We're also partnering with GI COPS, which is an organization of police officers and gang-related activities. We're trying to make sure we cover every single base that we can think of to cover, because it has to be a holistic program if we're going to stop, at least put a major dent in bullying. And what we want to do is change the school climate, you know, from being a bullying climate to being a no-tolerance climate, which is really what's supposed to be happening now, but it's not.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. We're going to take our last short break, and when we come back, I want to get some tips from you for parents about what they can do if they see their children what signs to look for, and if they're being bullied or they are bullies, and what they can do about it. So stand by. We've got to just take the short break.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking, to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
That was from a campaign from the Bully Suicide Project. Is that right? To call
That's
attention
correct.
To. Yeah, that was a few years ago. And those lyrics of "I'll be right there by your side." That's probably the most important thing. But even that, when a kid is being bullied, even that, knowing they have loving parents, it still makes it difficult for them. So I'd like you to point out what are some of the signs of a child, somebody who's being bullied, and likewise the signs of being a bully, and then what parents can do about it.
Well, I'll start with the signs of being bullied first, and let me just say this to the parents. Parents have to understand that they are their child's own best advocate. They have to, number one, you have to know your child. So you have to be able to recognize when your child is just not, you know, there's just something that he's not doing that he normally or she normally does. If they are withdrawn, you know, sometimes the bullying gets so bad that they do want to kill themselves and they start giving away things. Not getting up in the morning and being cheerful to go to school, not wanting to go to school at all. There are just so many little things that happen that could really kind of go past you. But make sure that you are so in tune to your child that you know when your child is not himself or herself.
Well, I want to jump in there, Dr. Newsom, because here's the thing. I have a son who was bullied, and he wouldn't answer me. I was always asking him, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? You look sad. You look depressed. Is everything all right? They don't necessarily tell you. So what do you do when they don't tell you?
Well, that's when you're going to have to start reaching out to people around your child. Because probably the people who know your child almost as well as you do are going to be the friends, the acquaintances, teachers. You know, you want to make sure you go and find out whatever you need to find out what's going on with my child. Because like me, I didn't want to tell. I mean, I went years for not telling my dad that I was bullied. And I love my dad dearly, but I was afraid to tell him. I was afraid that I was going to get in trouble in school. I was afraid I was going to get in trouble, you know, with him, with my mom, you know. So you have to reach out to friends, their friends, where they're going, what are they doing, who are they doing it with, and particularly with the computer. You've got to monitor your child's activity time on the computer because many times kids are being called names and cyberbullied, and the parents don't have a clue because there are no physical, any kind of implication that anything is going on, but you know something's not right with your child. Check the computer. But more than that, go even further. Monitor the computer to make sure your child isn't being cyberbullied. But the most important thing is that parent, you know, you have to get creative. There may be some things that sometimes we don't want to do. Maybe we don't want to call ourselves checking up on our kids, but many times it may be a situation of life and death. And the perfect example was the little 9-year-old kid that I was telling you about that took his life. His name was Montana Lance, right here from Texas. Mm-hmm. And his mother, though, she knew something was wrong because he was one of these kids that loved to get up, go to school every day, loved to do his homework. And he just suddenly just became sad, you know, not wanting to talk to anyone. And she did go to school to find out what was going on, you know, was anything going on in his classes. And some kid told her, you know, that he had been bullied and had been dumped in a trash can. And, you know, so at that point, though, it had gotten so bad that it was too late because I think she had been up to the school to find out what was going on, and when she came back home, he had hung himself, a 9-year-old kid. And if you look on the Facebook, on our Facebook page, it's his picture that we have up there because it's for him and his family that we do this.
And it's the bully suicide. If you go to Facebook, it's Bully Suicide Project. That's where you'll find them. Yeah.
Correct.
And so, so then I guess as parents, it's difficult. We could be too late. And even when we try to do something, you know, we can just do our best.
Exactly.
You know, what guilt that we could have if that happens and we feel like we didn't know or we couldn't do anything. But sometimes, you know, kids can deceive us. We don't know often.
Yes, they do.
And
they do.
Yeah. Now, what about how signs of when your child is actually the bully? What do we look for?
Well, you know, those are really the kind of the hardest things to determine because some of the kids, and I'll tell you from the standpoint of a bully, because he was, this kid was, I mean, great-looking kid. He was 6'2", 200 pounds, and you would never think, you know, that he had, to meet him, he didn't have a mean bone in his body. But he was a bullier. And we sat down and had a conversation. Why do you bully? He said he bullied because he was afraid of someone else bullying him first because of his size. Mm. You know, we think that bullies are always the bigger of the two people involved in the situation, but many times that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what he did, his parents didn't know. You know, they had no idea that he was a bully because he was a pleasant kid on the other side of that bullying. But he was afraid at school, so sometimes their classwork will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've got to know who your kids' friends are, who your students' friends are, who your child's friends are. You have to know, you just have to be in tune with your child. And
right.
Even then, the best attempts can sometimes go awry, but you at least have to make that effort. And one thing that I actually was able to come up with after dealing with Montana Lance's mother, Debbie Lance, and she used mm-hmm. to be an advocate. She used to go down to Austin to talk about bullying and the things that needed to be done. But
right.
We sat down and came up with a form for parents. One of them is a form, you know, if they even have an inkling that anything is going on, just kind of
mm-hmm.
observe them for a couple of days to see if they really are, you know, who you think they are and who what they're not doing that they generally would do. But the other important form is the form to take the school to the school when the child tells you they've been bullied. Because
yes.
We have found that so many parents have gone to school and reported and reported and reported and only to be told they don't have any record of them reporting these incidences. So we came up with a hard copy form for them to take with them to school each time they report a bullying incident. And it's very simple to fill out. And at the end, you have the principal or the administrator who's there with the parent to sign it, saying that, yes, this in fact did happen, and if they don't sign it, then you sign it and send it to the superintendent.
Right.
So
I have to jump in because we're running out of time, Audrey.
Okay.
Where can somebody get that form? Is it online?
Not yet, but if they email me at bullysuicideproject@yahoo.com, I will send it to them. We're going to put it also on the Facebook fan page, so.
Okay,
Bully
very good.
Project.
So Bully Suicide Project, the Positive Student Athlete, the big launch, the rally is in Dallas, and that's going to be on Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. And if you want to know more about that, again, your email address?
Yes, Bully Suicide Project, all one word, @yahoo.com. And it's going to be May 23rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Beautiful. All right, Dr. Newsom, thank you for your service in the military and now beyond all that you're doing for young people and to help prevent bullying, this horrible, horrible, hateful behavior. So thank you so much for all you're doing.
And can I say just one more quick thing, Phyllis?
We got 10 seconds. Go.
Okay. We now are doing a project for women veterans because they are the newest faces of bullying, homelessness, and suicide. So that's our next up-and-coming big project.
Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate all you do.
Thank you, Phyllis. I do, too. Thank you. You are such a gem, and I appreciate you having me on the show.